My name is Mary Beth Schultz, and I am the youngest of the Wolf Pack.
I am a child of God.
I am obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I can be outside my comfort zone just like I try and make you outside your comfort zone. So I have to confess and repent. I was the first person to get prayed for up in Ben's class to get activated, and Nancy steps to the side and said, you didn't take it all. And I stood there thinking, and I tell all of you not to do this. I am intimidated by Ben's artistic gifts. And I didn't want to receive what was to be imparted. I will be blunt. And I have to repent. I'm sorry. Nancy, I'm sorry. Ben, I'm sorry. I sat there and I thought, Nancy needs to pray for me again, or God, you need to make something happen so that I know I'm receiving it all. So when Ben and Nancy imparted to Evelyn, it bounced right off of the wall and came right up to me, and you know, you get that spirit jerk and you just know you got the rest of it. So I receive the artistic gifts in Jesus' name. I will do whatever God's sheep need for me to do, for me to further the kingdom of God. The title of my workshop is War Cry of the Mercy of God. On the notes page, let's start with the themes at the bottom. This is my fourth time to give this talk on mercy, and it has changed every time, and that's okay, because God's changed it. So the theme in Grovetown was, God freely grants us mercy, we should also give ourselves mercy. We should forgive ourselves, because God has forgiven us. In Anchorage, Alaska, without mercy, we would be burnt to a crisp in God's presence. We must reconcile that we are simultaneously the most and the least important person. We have to think about somebody other than ourselves, and they can go first. In Ketchikan, Alaska, it was to demonstrate to others not just what is visible, but hey, everybody can't see unless they're led by the Holy Spirit to see what's inside your head, but God always knows it. So you can say, I love you, but inside you can be, you know what I mean, sadly. So, including self-talk and attitudes. Could you minister to a person who looks like blank? And up in Ketchikan, I had this vision years ago of me changing outfits to represent different personalities to who I was speaking to, and it just wasn't feasible to take all those outfits to Anchorage. And my daughter says, Mom, why don't you just take pictures? So I dressed up, and she took pictures, and we displayed them. So I was all dressed up in a fur coat, and one of the pictures I had a headband and skinny jeans and a beer bottle and a cigarette. And in another picture, I had on kids' tennis shoes and a long denim jacket and a wool sweater with my hair up in a bun. So, you know, these are stereotypes that we have put people into. They still need Jesus. Even if you think they have Jesus, they still need another level and a higher revelation, and they need a love too. And who am I to be disobedient to say I can't? Because God always tells us that you can. So, in MacArthur, I am going to practice using all my spiritual gifts, as many as I can fit into my 45 minutes or an hour. God's mercy covers ministry weaknesses too. What do his sheep need? Give it to them. So I am always telling people, if you're not using your gifts, you're being stingy. And sometimes you have a few dominant gifts that's easy for you to walk in. It's easy for you to love or hug, or it's easy for you to bake something for somebody. It's easy for you to drop something off anonymously. It's easy for you to prophesy over someone. Do something that's not easy. So, I'm going to dance like Uta dances. You know, dance like David danced. I am going to sing like Evelyn sings. I am going to rap like Ben raps. I'm going to wash feet like Sabra Polly washes feet. I'm going to be obedient like Nancy is obedient, because she walks in all the gifts. And this one, I've practiced those. This is the one that's a big stretch for me today. I am going to preach and teach like Henry Haney. My workshop scripture is Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And I've got the first part, and Debbie Andrews has the second part of that upstairs. But we're going to read the entire Romans 12 chapter. So I'm reading in the New King James. And I haven't picked up my New King James Bible in a while. A lot of times I just use my phone or I steal my sister's New Living Testament. But God told me to pick it up this time, and it was all for Angie. Because I was partnered with Angie on the very first morning when we had that Bible study in Isaiah. And guess what kind of Bible she brought? The New King James. So we were in one accord. Nancy has chosen all of chapter 12, and she has pieced it up into individual workshops. And I got the first part, which just barely says something about the mercies of God and definitely doesn't develop it. So it wasn't until my fourth talk that I have had a mature mind to say, Beth, that mercies means you got mercy for the rest of that chapter. That means you don't just get to talk on verse 1, you get to talk and demonstrate the whole entire chapter. So we're going to read it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now I'm at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to... For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Ah, Lisa, cue up Clay. This is a participation workshop. So I need everybody to stand up and go to the back row and pick up a flag. Those are all my flags. They represent either a state or a country. And when I would watch Uta dance, I would be stirred. But how I got stirred up was to use flags. And so when I flag, I mean, I literally flag. It's a flag. And I pray for that country. I pray for my family or my friends in that state or that country. I lift them up. That's China. There is one error on my notes page, and it's the last scripture, and I was so focused on Joshua that I wrote Joshua 33:11. It's really Exodus 33:11, but you'll forgive me and grant mercy, right? Amen. So give yourself some room and spread out. You are going to wave your flags in whatever way you want. I have come up with what I want to do as a representation of this song. And I honor Clay Webb. He has an awesome CD called Unlock the Wells. And on that CD is a song entitled Like Joshua. So I'm going to read from Exodus 33:11. This is talking about when the Israelites were in the wilderness. There was a tabernacle outside the camp. Moses would go to the tabernacle, the fire or the cloud would descend upon the tabernacle. That's where Moses met God. But Joshua always went with him, and he lingered. He so much liked the presence of God that he even stayed after Moses went back to talk to the people. So we are going to linger like Joshua.
Joshua. before my eyes. Let your glory pass before my eyes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being obedient. I feel good when I've been obedient. I get a peace inside me. It doesn't matter how well I did it. It doesn't matter if someone else could have done it better than me. What matters is I was obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So I didn't know that Uda wasn't going to be able to teach her workshop this time. But Uda, I hope I've displayed some things that you've taught me in that dance. I thought, let your glory fall. What would Uda do? She would have this big explosion. God is glorious. And see, it's something about eyes, you know. I remember she had the two fingers, I'm gonna keep it, towards the eyes. Feel, you know, you hold your chest. So those were some motions I was doing. And I was just, swinging my flag around. And usually when I play Clay's song, I'm singing that too. I didn't this time. But when I worship with my flags, this is what I think in my mind. I've got the Ohio flag up here. It is the only flag that is concave. That means it points back in on itself. And it is much easier to move around than all those big square ones. So go Ohio. But I say things like, God bless Uda, protect Russ. Thank you, Lord, for Point of Hope Ministries in Ohio. Thank you, Lord, that Ohio has governors and congressmen and congresswomen and whoever else in the government that honor you and create rules and enforce laws by your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that the church is not just a church, it's a kingdom, it's a people that loves you, that worships the one true and the living God. It's a, Lord, thank you that I just live in West Virginia. And we are a border state, and we are in unison with Ohio. So those are the words that flow out of me as I worship the Lord, and I'm waving the Ohio flag. Now when I pick up another one, I have somewhat similar words, but different words. So thank you, Uda, for pouring into me. I honor you. These two verses are not on your note sheet. Ephesians 4:15. Now I'm going to preach and teach like Henry Haney. No wonder it's not reading right. I'm in Galatians. This chapter is my favorite chapter in the entire body. It's telling us how to go be the church. It doesn't matter who we are. And I'm telling that to everybody all the time. And that was what I started with. A repentance that I need to be the body. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ. So this is talking about being a mature church, and it adds not being children tossed to and fro in the verse before. Not succumbing to the trickery of men, but speaking the truth in love. Let's go to Matthew 7:3-5. I'm taking deep breaths because... cause. Do not judge is the title of this section. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at a plank? And look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. My husband is a protector of freedom. I am a protector of those who cannot protect themselves. I am a school counselor by trade, a math teacher before that. I have been taught by my parents to love unconditionally. And when I see someone taken advantage of, it wells up inside me. And my first reaction isn't always the best. Sometimes I have to think about it and say, what can I do about this? And sometimes I can't do anything about it other than pray. But sometimes I can intercede. But speaking the truth in love is not telling Russ that he has something on his shirt. He said he changed his shirt. He knows he has something on his shirt. Speaking the truth in love means I look at Russ and I tell him, I see that you are covering my workshop. I see that you are covering this conference. I appreciate the man of God that you are. So I acknowledge who he is. And then if I have a gift of prophecy, I also come up and say, pass it down. You have words to use to teach those in your family to be like you. That little Colin, right, that I followed around the farm? Teach him. Teach him the way of the Lord, and only you can show that to be like you, the Jesus that's in you. That's familiar to him. He trusts you. Cultivate that. Judy, I love you, and you said something, you know, about how to say things to people. I appreciate you sharing that. And sometimes you just got to think before you, when somebody says something, you know you need to offer a correction, but sometimes you think, how can I say that? Chris, may I use you? If you don't know my brother Chris, he's pretty much an adopted family member because he belongs to my sister. He works for my sister and her husband at a work of heart at the mall. Kind of off and on for a while. You keep coming back, don't you?
I know, I know.
So I have gotten to know him through Dee. And he's had many struggles in his life. Yeah? So, if you looked at just the pattern of Chris's relationships, Chris, what would they say about you?
No.
I'm sure people have told you. What are those nasty things that they said to you? Are you okay with sharing? What's one word, can you think? Failed?
Hopeless.
Telling somebody they're hopeless is not speaking the truth in love. Telling somebody that they don't have relationship skills to further whatever they're starting with a potential mate is not speaking the truth in love. Telling someone that they can't is seeing a speck in their eye and not checking out the plank in their own. So if I'm telling Chris all those things, that big plank that I have in my eye is judgment, possibly a spirit of religion, could be jealousy. So when I see something that might possibly be a fault in someone else, that causes me to think, I bet I got something wrong with me too, and I better look at mine. So let's remove the plank out of our own eye before I even dare to talk about the speck in my brother's eye. I don't know Chris very well, but I think he'll let me speak into him, yes? So speaking the truth in love over Chris says, you are an overcomer. You are the best daddy that set foot on this land. You are the best husband, the best mate, a soulmate to your wife. You are blessed and not cursed. You will raise those children like they were your own. You will be fruitful. You will multiply. You will create jealousy, good jealousy in others to say, what do you have? Oh, I want that relationship with my mate. And I give you grace and I give you mercy. So that when those people who have those big planks come up against you, it falls off you and you can return love and mercy. It hurts. It hurts, especially from people that you trust. I come from a big family and they make me mad. So when they've done something to you, isn't it so easy to get into those old behavior patterns? What is your problem? Why are you acting like that? You know better than that. You're such a dork. Well, we use other words too, but you know what I mean? That's not speaking the truth in love, is it? So what's your name, honey? Dawn. I only know you because you kind of popped in here and I made you come up front and dance, right? I do know. She chased down the offering plate one night. Thank you. I might see something in Dawn that needs corrected because I might attend church with her, and I saw her maybe doing something outside the church that I thought was all questionable. Dawn, do I have relationship with you? No. Do I have relationship with anybody you know? Maybe, maybe not. I don't think so. So if I thought it was big enough and I knew somebody Dawn knew and it wasn't gossip, I could go to them and maybe mention something. But I don't know anybody Dawn knows. And it is not speaking the truth in love for me to go and confront her. That is not my place. I do not have relationship with her. So the first words out of my mouth for me to come up to her is to say, you did this and this and this and this, and how can you call yourself a Christian? That's kind of how it would feel, no matter what I said, even if it was in love. You know what I mean? I take it to God. I say, God, send someone to Dawn. Send someone to pour into her. Send a confidant that she can love and trust and share with to say, how can I be a better Christian? Is there anything you see in my life that I might be doing a little better? That's giving someone permission to speak to you. How many of you have been given words in love that didn't feel very loving? Yes? Yes? Well, Lord, have mercy. I just rebuke those negative words that have been said against you. You speak life, and you speak that more abundantly. Now, is that how Henry would have given this message? I have no idea. But he's an inspiration to me because I've heard him. I don't even know if I've ever sat in one of his workshops, but I've listened to him online. I know him through the Point to Hope team. I know him because Nancy is his mate and honors him all the time. He's a good man. I want to model my preaching and teaching after Henry Haney, and I honor Henry Haney. He is the probably first covering for Point to Hope Ministries. He is the one that knew it even before Nancy knew it. Thank you, God, for husbands who hear the voice of the Lord. Even if it says we're buying a church. For those of you that don't know, Nancy came to our house church and spoke a word over my husband that he was going to go into full-time ministry and to be looking for a building. And it's one of those things where I've not submitted very well. Lord, help me. And I told him, if we're buying a building, then we're living in it. Wherever there is vision, God will bring provision. So this is where I'm saying, Mary Beth, you tell everybody to trust in God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that God works everything out? Okay, I just told myself. My dad is laughing hysterically. I think he tells himself sometimes. Yeah. Now I'm going to rap like Ben raps. So I need the next song. Oh, to preface this, when saints hit your hallelujah, you go, whoo. Saints hit your hallelujah. Woo. There we go. This spirit, that pure gold, Holy Spirit, that perfect mold. This one for them good girls, them good girls, them straight masterpieces, loving, wilding, living it up in the kingdom. Got Jesus on with St. Paul, gotta bless myself, I'm so witty. He's hot. Praise God. Called the police and the fireman. He's hot. Praise God. Make a dragon want to retire, man. He's hot. Praise God. Say his name, you know I am. He's hot. Praise God. He's good about that miracle. Saints hit you, hallelujah. Saints hit you, hallelujah. Saints hit you, hallelujah. Cause Holy Spirit gonna give it to you. Holy Spirit gonna give it to you. Holy Spirit gonna give it to you. It's Saturday night and we're in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Come on, get up and dance with me. Don't believe me, just watch. 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 Wait a minute. Fill my cup, put some spirit in it. Take a sip, fall out. Zoe, get the oil. Ride to Grovetown, Anchorage, Ketchikan, MacArthur. If we show up, it's gonna show up. Even with more power. He's hot, praise God. Call the police and the fireman. He's hot, praise God. Make a dragon wanna retire, man. He's hot, praise God. Say his name, you know I am. He's hot. Praise God, he's good about that miracle. Saints hit you, hallelujah. Saints hit you, hallelujah. Saints hit you, hallelujah. Cause Holy Spirit gonna give it to you. Holy Spirit gonna give it to you. Holy Spirit gonna give it to you. Saturday night and we're in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, hey, hey. Before we leave, I want to tell you something. A little something about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will funk you up. Spirit will funk you up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. 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 The Holy Spirit will funk you up. Spirit will funk you up.
Come on, dance, jump in it. If you're anointed, flow with it. If your spirit drunk, then own it. Don't brag about it, go show him. Come on, dance, jump in it. If you're anointed, flow with it. Well, it's Saturday night and we're in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Hey, hey, hey. We'll funk you up. Spirit will funk you up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. Spirit will funk you up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. Spirit will funk you up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. 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 The Holy Spirit will funk you up. Spirit will funk you up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. Spirit will funk you up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. The Holy Spirit will funk you up. Oh, yes, hallelujah. That's harder than it looks. So, Evelyn, honey, blessings. The birth of that Holy Spirit will funk you up started in Anchorage. And I didn't quite know why. And I didn't develop it up there, but we still had a good time with it. But when I reflected on it, why did I like that? When I thought about coming to MacArthur, I remember an evangelist that came through. His name was Brother Don. And I can't even remember what his last name was. Peyton. He was the first one who said, "Hey, you, get out of your pew." You know? So we were the three sisters. It was Valerie and our friend Melinda and I, and we were going to, guess what? The Assembly of God in Marietta, Ohio. So we had a pastor that believed in us. So he said, "You three sisters, now you're going to get up in front of the church on Sunday morning and share." So along with a couple others, we had maybe 10 minutes that we were supposed to share. And it was hard to fill that 10 minutes. It really was. He gave us some, I don't even know if he gave us much parameter. But you know what ended up happening? There was like four or five of us all together. And we all meshed in what we chose to talk about. Doesn't the Spirit just work it all out? You know? So, as part of that revival at our church, he had also come here. And the teenagers, I don't know if it was this church or another church, but they were so excited that they came to Marietta. And they would be up front, and they would be all, you know, that's great. And it was kind of cool, because that was 20 years ago, and I wasn't much older than a teenager. But there are some people that aren't 43. There are some people that aren't 65. There are some people that aren't 90 in this church. So how do we bridge the gap? How do I be a mouthpiece, a footpiece, an earpiece, an elbow piece, a backside piece? Every piece of the body, remember? So I thought back to those teenagers and thought, they would probably like this rap. I can rap like Ben raps. So I honor Ben Glass with my rap. I'm not going to sing the hallelujah song. It is on the back. I think it's recorded at least two other times if you want to hear me sing it. Also on the back, there are notes that tell you what I've been feeding on. I call them recent spiritual meals. The first one is about a movie. The biggest line that I saw was, "But I haven't done anything yet." The enemy of our soul knows long before we wake up and realize who we are. The attacks on your life have much more to do with who you might be in the future than who you have been in the past. And the enemy will try to get you to look at your past. Your destiny is far much greater than your history. Paul Mann Waring. Kind of a neat name, isn't it? For a man of God, huh? "You have greater glory than is on the face of Moses. Moses' glory was external and fading, and yours is internal and increasing. Your assignment is Shekinah, to be a dwelling place of a dwelling God." You know, we did the dance to Joshua. That kind of makes sense that I would be pondering that one, wouldn't it? Our glory is internal and increasing. I am always listening to Bethel. Bill Johnson says, "The worldview that causes me to be moved with compassion for other people, I will never see this side of eternity, is an essential part of this life in Christ. Deliberately choose a world need, intentionally." I bet you wonder what flag you picked up. If you want to know, describe it to me and I'll tell you. If it was a state, it might have said the name. But if it was a country, sometimes it doesn't say the country. I might have to tell you. So be intentional. I haven't gotten to go all around the world with Nancy Haney. But I have. Because I pray for Point to Hope Ministries. Because UDA stirred up something inside me that I took her gifting and tweaked it a little bit. And while I might never be a part of David's tent, Judy's anointing still flows through me. And I can pray while flagging. And I can war while flagging. And it is very intentional, the words that I say over those countries and those states. The last one, Andy Stanley. "If you are self-righteous, you dumb down God's holiness and you elevate your own. It's ignorant and arrogant. And consequently, the self-righteous are very rarely self-aware. Religion lends itself to being judgmental." The plank in the speck, speaking the truth in love. So all of these things kind of tied into, hey, where was I going today? One more verse before my last act of obedience in stretching me today. Habakkuk 1, 5 through 11. "Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Why don't you protect me, God? Why are all these big bad people coming to beat up on my tribe, my nation?" Let's just focus on verse 5. "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you." I don't know, about a year ago, I was reflecting on all these wonderful verses that we all repeat. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail. I have heard these and I honor my husband because he speaks life over us. And I am not putting those down at all. Keep speaking those. But I heard Bill Johnson talk about Randy Clark having, or somebody that was in his church, or somebody that was aligned with them, talk about a second wave. A second revival coming. And the old people aren't going to get left behind because the second wave overtook the first wave. So that means the first wave is still included in the second wave. That wave is going to be pretty big, isn't it? I believe that we are going to have new foundational, and I'm doing the air quotes, foundational scriptures that are just going to pop out of our mouth. And I have a belief, I have a faith that, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. What can you believe? I've heard people give talks about using your imagination in a bad way. If you always have those negative talk, you know, those words that I'm worthless, I don't amount for anything, that is a poor use of your imagination. That's when you pull out the I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know? You can't have two thoughts at the same time, right, Lisa? She taught us that this morning. So you replace that negative thought with a good thought. And you believe. What can you imagine? What can you imagine that God can do on this earth, in the heavenly of heavenlies, that can manifest on this earth? What is the biggest thing that you can imagine? He can bring it to pass. What is the biggest thing in your life? What is the biggest thing in your family's life? My topic is mercy. And as a teacher, it's very easy for me to make a notes page and have classroom participation. It was much harder for me to sing and rap and dance. And next one, I'm going to get through it. We're all going to get through it. And thank you. Right now, you in this room are my family. Yeah? We're all grafted in. Would somebody bring me up a chair? And I need someone to take a microphone and read for me John 13, 1 through 7. And I don't care who it is. Lisa, do we have a microphone? Can someone look up John 13, 1 through 7? I don't care what. Dave, will you be obedient to your little sister? Will you come up and let me wash your feet? This is not an act of one person. This is an act of an entire family. So get yourselves up here too. Come on up. So I am going to wash feet like my sister Sabra has washed feet. I thought I was going to bake, and that would be the easier thing. What, the one about the foot washing, is it 1 through 7 or 17? Okay, then go for it.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered, and he said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew he would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me."
This is an act of obedience. This is an act of submission. This is an act of launching. This is an act of laying down pride. This is an act of love. I've rubbed Dave's feet an awful lot, and a lot of people have, and Doc, and what's your name? Sheila. All sorts of people have gone back to pray for my brother, and I thank you. And for those of you in electronic land, my brother was diagnosed with colon cancer about a year ago, and he's walking a walk. And he told me one day, in the middle of it all, "Beth, give me time. Give me time to catch up to you. If you're tired of leading this family and you've got other things to do, and I know it's hard, just give me a little bit of time. And I'll be right there with you." So while I might be ahead of my brother in some areas, I am representing Jesus washing a disciple's feet to say, I know that we already have that one that is coming, that Holy Spirit, that you will do even greater things than I. So, as an act of submission, and while my brother's feet are nice and clean already, back in Jesus' time, they were not nice and clean. They wore sandals. They walked through dirt. They walked through animal doo-doo. And who knows what else. So I didn't have to spend a lot of time cleaning his feet. So I'm going to dry off his feet. And what I'm going to spend some time doing is anointing his feet. Do you remember another story? A story when Jesus was in with the men, and women are allowed to be with the men, and some crazy woman came in and poured a whole bunch of expensive oil all over his feet. Do you remember that story? I am going to anoint my brother's feet with frankincense. That's an expensive oil back in Jesus' time. I think that was a gift. I know that he's been anointed many times today, and that's okay. He can be anointed again. This is an act of submission to say, Dave, I believe in you. You will live and not die. You will run the race. You will catch up, and you will run past your sisters. You will be the head of the wolf pack. You will imagine those things that no one else can imagine, and the Lord will bring to fruition. Imagine those things that no one could ever imagine, and he will make it happen. He didn't want to come this weekend. He's having some rough side effects from his chemo. I sent him a text that says, is this about you or is this about everyone else? And I can only imagine what he had to overcome to get himself here. And when he showed up in the hall, Sabe, will you take over? When he showed up in the hall, he sat as far away from everyone as possible. And those of you that were in there, did you notice people just kept going to him? You see him in the back. People just keep going to him. And it's not because Nancy told us to. It's because that spirit in you is leaping up saying, my brother is in distress. My brother is fighting a fight that I can't imagine. I need to go and speak life over him. And I don't care if 50 people have already gone back there. If you have something to tell my brother, bring somebody with you, because we should come in twos, that way we have a witness. Speak life over him. You have permission to do that. You might have a more meaningful understanding of what it's like to have a family member go through this. Who wants to come rub my brother's feet and speak a word of encouragement? Okay.
My mother's had breast cancer, and she overcame that. That was in the 80s, 1980s. And then she got stomach cancer. Now, the breast cancer is inherited, so I could get it.
So you get it, right?
I could get
it. And your mother's still here with us, yes?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So what are some words of life that you're going to give to my brother?
He's going to overcome his internal illness through the belief that he's going to eradicate all those cancer cells, and we're going to help him.
Amen. So pass the mic.
I was in Ketchikan when I heard you speak, and I saw so much of the strength of Jesus in you, and I know you felt weak at that time, but it was a real testimony to me, and I heard your testimony, and I saw courage. I saw your courage, your overcoming strength and courage, Christ in you, and I just bless you, and I speak healing and restoration over you in Jesus' name.
Foot, and I'll take this one. Just like your namesake, King David, you're a man after God's own heart. And even when David felt all alone in the cave, the one thing he did is he would encourage himself in the Lord. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. So when you feel all alone in that cave, just bless the Lord.
Amen.
You are blessed and not cursed, my brother.
Amen.
You are the head and not the tail. You are more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Nothing, no thing can separate you from his love. No created thing. He's going to do more in you and through you than you can even imagine. You are a mighty man of valor. You're going to do mighty and great exploits in the Lord's name. You shall live. You will not die.
Amen. Give that to Dad. I don't care if you think you can't. You will. Speak life over your son.
When you first got this, Dave, I didn't really believe that you was going to come through it like this. Now there is no doubt in my mind that you are going to come through it, that you are winning the battle, and that you have won the battle. In the name of Jesus Christ, all glory, power, and honor. Amen.
Who else would like to speak a word?
I was just going to say that our family's been through some trials similar to this, and we meditated on Psalms 118, which it says that he will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And I can see Dave declaring the works of the Lord once this passes. You know, sometimes chemo is part of the plan, and we can't let our faith waver. Dave, you can't let your faith waver. Sometimes the enemy will come in and throw something at you that day, but just get up and pick up the pieces and go on, and don't let your faith waver, because God will pull you through this. You will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So just meditate on Psalms 118.
Just to go along with what Kelly was saying, was bless the Lord, O my soul. It says in verse 3, who forgives every one of all of our iniquities, who heals each of all diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth, your necessity, and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, strong, overcoming, and soaring.
David, God loves you. He cares for you. He cares so much for you. He is grieving. He's grieving. And he wants you to know that he has the power, and it is his will to heal you from the top of your head to the very soles of your feet. And he says, have no doubt. No doubt or unbelief. Just believe. Believe. Have faith. Be fully confident that I can do what I say I can do. Remember when I put my Jesus on the cross for you? He took everything. He took every cancer cell, every infirmity, and he took it to his body. And he nailed it to the cross. And what were the last words he spoke? He said, it is finished. It is finished. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took this infirmity, and this cancer has to bow down. And we call forth healing. We call forth shalom peace, which says that there is nothing missing, nothing broken in your body, in your life. And you will finish the race set before you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And I'm sure there are many other people who have a prophetic word stirring in them.
There's a lot of heat coming out from his neck. I feel a lot of heat. And when my hand gets full, I shake it off. And when I put it back, it's hot again. Yeah.
So, I wash feet like my sister Sabe washes feet. And the whole entire workshop was that I am obedient, like Nancy is obedient. Did she leave?
David.
Go ahead, Brother John. Nancy
David,
has left the building.
Christ came to destroy the works of the enemy. This is not a work of God, but a work of the devil. And it doesn't belong in you, for greater is the one that's in you than the one that's in this world. And he came to give you life, and to give you life in abundance. And so you shall live and you shall not die. And you will be a testimony. Testimony for all those, the greater one that lives inside of you is there for them as well. Be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And we come against every cell that is not of God, every cell that is of the enemy. We curse those cells in the name of Jesus Christ, those cancer cells. We command those cancer cells to die now in the name of Jesus and to dissipate and to go from your body now. We speak resurrection life into your body in the name of Jesus Christ, and every cell will be replaced with good cells, and you shall live. You shall live, you shall live, you shall live, and not die in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
My brother has the microphone now. As Kelly said, sometimes you just have to encourage yourself in the Lord.
Yeah, Mary Beth was right. I didn't feel like coming this weekend. Wait, they warned me of this acne and all that, and it was a pride thing. But I didn't want to go out and have people see me. I don't know what's more humbling, washing feet or getting feet washed. But I thank you all. Like I told Beth, just give me time. Oh, Lord will whip this and then I'll be moving. So get ready.
But as you have all already testified, he's not just standing still. He's making an impact right now.